This is Shudders Inc. with Bruce Williams and Glyn Lavender.
Hi, and welcome to episode 211 of Shudders Inc. This is Bruce Williams from ShuddersIncPodcast.com, and with me on the line via Skype from Melbourne, Mr. Glyn Lavender. Once again, how are you?
Absolutely marvellous, thank you very much.
Excellent.
But I'm trying to get better, so I'll see how I go during the day.
Getting better from marvellous, excellent.
Better than absolutely marvellous, yeah. I'm an eternal optimist.
That's a lofty aspiration.
Good, aim high.
So what's new this week, mate?
Oh, it's been 7 whole days, actually. It's been quite amazing. I had a Monday, I had a Tuesday. No, it's a lot's happened this week. My littlest child has had an ear infection that's driven the whole family nuts. So
that's no good.
We've locked her in the car for a couple of days because it was just crazy. But we wound the window down.
Very humane of you.
She's been very sick with a massive fever, so that's kind of kept us kind of busy and not necessarily thinking too much about photo this week. But we've had some news. We started something off this week, didn't we?
We did. At Glyn's prompting, I finally got around to starting a Shudders Inc. podcast Facebook page. For those of you who are on Facebook, which I would assume would be 99% of the Shudders Inc. audience, you can now go to facebook.com/Shudders Inc. podcast. We've now got a page. Glyn and I are both admins and we'll be posting stuff regularly, as well as posting all of the show notes on ShuddersIncPodcast.com, like I've always done in the past. We will also be putting any links to any, you know, stories that we've talked about in the podcast on the Facebook page as well, which just, you know, makes it easy to find that stuff, you know, if you don't want to be going off in your browser to ShuddersIncPodcast.com. So, yeah.
But it also means you can add stuff that everyone else can see too. I mean, we want people to share stuff with us if we're not the font of all knowledge.
Absolutely.
I like to think I am, but, you know, whilst I'm an optimist, I'm also a realist.
Sure.
I know that doesn't happen. So it's, you know, anything people come across that they love, that they want to share, that we'd love to see that too.
Absolutely.
That's one of the joys of Facebook, is it does allow this two-way interaction very easily and very quickly. And if you find something out there in the wide world of photo that you think, oh, they'd love to talk about that, please post it.
Yeah, definitely. Or even if it's just something that, you know, when you see that content elsewhere on the web, it sparks a question, you know, by
Absolutely.
All means, you know, post it as a link and say, you know, this got me thinking about X, Y, Z, you know, can you comment, or has anyone got any thoughts, you know? Let's get some interaction happening.
Yeah, absolutely. This is nice. It's nice to chat.
It is, absolutely. You wanted to talk tonight about photo sharing sites.
Cool. Yes, whilst I've had some sort of downtime, I guess you'd say, this week, I've been doing two things I'd like to talk about. One was I've been trawling through old hard drives of photos.
Oh, okay.
Finding lost gems that I always meant to do something with and never quite got around to doing it. So the last couple of days I've sort of been, whilst having my two-year-old strapped to my head, trying with one hand to control my computer, been just looking at some photos from the past and pulling out ones I always intended. So it's just maybe a nice thing to talk about, you know, the old lost photos and what do we do with them and where they're headed.
Yep.
That's one kind of thing. And during that time, I thought, well, once I've found these photos, what do I want to do with them? And I've been a member of Flickr for...
Now, I'm just going to stop you. I'm just going to stop you just for 1 second. Because something you've just said has sort of flicked my antenna to something that I was talking about in an episode of Shudders Inc. Half a dozen episodes ago. And it related...
Maybe 2005?
somewhere back around there.
It's 211 now.
And
so
it was relating to... an article I'd seen on a photography-related blog somewhere about the notion of getting rid of the photographs that you just don't, you know, they weren't winners.
Yeah.
And do you keep everything you shoot, or do you only keep the killer stuff? And I'm just interested, what is Glyn Lavender's perspective on that?
Well, I'm told from the secret sources inside Adobe that CS12, when it comes out, so that's, you know, 6 generations from now. They're working on it now, though. It's going to have an unsuck filter, And yeah, you put your really crappy photos, the blurry, the sort of camera shake, the badly focused, I wasn't actually aiming at the subject I meant to, shots hit unsuck, and they magically become great. So I'm hanging on to them all because I've got a fair few bad ones.
You're going to put your hand up as a beta tester.
Oh, absolutely. I'm already preparing the files now. I've been storing my bad ones for when it comes out because I think it's going to happen at some stage. Yeah, it's the old joke, there's no unsuck filter in Photoshop. Look, you know, I'm a firm believer in deleting atrocious photos. Yeah, the ones where I've just completely ballsed up, frankly. You take a lot of photos in this world, you know. It's I'm probably taking 20 or 30,000 images a minimum a year. You know? So that's a crazy amount of photos. So you want to really nip as many of those in the bud as possible. And as I'm finding now, because I'm searching through photos from 2009, 2010, that I've just done nothing with. So I should be a realist and say, well, yeah, these are garbage. Get rid of them.
Yep.
But at the same time, this is where it gets tricky. Some of the photos I'm looking at, I posted a photo up today and I'll put it in the show on the Facebook page.
Yep.
Of an old guy I met who lived in a Volkswagen combi van.
Right.
And I took this photo of him 3 years ago, 2010. And yeah, that was okay. It was all right. But I processed it today finally for the first time and now I love it. You know?
Yeah, right.
It was a photo of that at the time. I probably would have, if I was being brutal, probably would have said, get rid of that.
Yeah, you know, right.
But I didn't. And so I think anything that's borderline, you've got to be moderately brutal, but if it's in focus, if it's reasonably well exposed and moderately well composed, maybe hang on to it.
Right, because that was my next question was, you know, we quite often, particularly when we're shooting people, will fire off a series of frames under the same circumstances, the same lighting, the same exposure, you know, and you're getting, you know, oh, I think you might have blinked, I'll grab another one, you know, blah, blah, blah. So you might fire off half a dozen shots. So that was my next question was, in those sorts of circumstances, do you just keep the one that you know, at the time that you sat down in Lightroom, you know, days or weeks after the shoot and you went through them and you went, out of the half dozen I shot, that was the killer image. Do you just keep that one and ditch the others? Or as you've just suggested, if the others are all, you know, reasonably well exposed and in focus and not, you know, no motion blur, do you hang on to them anyway?
If you want to be brutally evil in this world, let's say you're taking photos for a living. And let's say you're doing stock library photos,
yep.
And you've sold this image to a stock library because they love it and it's awesome, but you've got six other images that are almost exactly the same because you've caught quite a few. Well, technically it's a different file. You can sell that to someone else.
True.
I mean, so it doesn't hurt to have three, four, six photos of almost the same thing because,
It's not the same thing, yeah.
It's not the same file. I'm selling you a totally different file. Yeah, they were taken seconds apart, yes. When I'm determined to get a good photograph, yeah, I actually burst shoot. I actually shoot a burst of at least three photos of each shot because right. I have very unsteady hands.
Right.
And I always know the first shot will have a little bit of movement in it.
Yeah, right.
So it's going to be a little bit soft.
Yep.
But because the second and third shots, I'm not actually pressing the button. I'm just holding it down.
Ah.
They're sharp. The sharper photo. So whenever I'm really trying to make sure I get it right, I don't make the fool of myself, I'll burst shoot. So I'll have two or three shots that are very, very similar, almost identical.
Yeah, right.
And hopefully at least two of those three will be sharp.
Yeah, nice.
So I do have a lot of photos that are similar when it comes to, I really want to make sure I get this moment right.
Yeah, interesting.
So yeah, I think that's so it's more than just shooting for the sake of it, it's shooting for safety, I guess you'd say.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm the same. I know that, you know, quite often I get a little bit of motion blur, even when I think I've got a shutter speed that should be plenty fast enough.
Exactly. I see motion blur at a thousandth of a second.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Not always, but there are times, you know. I should have looked after myself better when I was young, I guess. And certainly the old rule of trying to keep the shutter speed above the focal length you're using.
Yep.
It's a good one. So for those who know what I mean, if you're using a 200mm lens, try and use the shutter speed. That's at least 200th of a second shutter speed or more.
Yep.
And the lower the lens goes down, if you're going down below 60th of a second, you want to be a little bit careful. But But definitely, that's a rule I try and follow as best as I can. Yep. And the way modern cameras can handle ISO, that's not a big sacrifice to jump from 400 to 800 to achieve that.
So, yeah, exactly. Okay, so sorry, you were going on to talk about...
Oh, no, I finished.
To talk about photo sharing sites.
Yeah, so look, I've been a member of Flickr for, I don't know, 7, 8 years. I don't know what. I was a very early adopter of Flickr.
Right.
And it used to be, you know, there used to be a lot of love in the room back in the days where you'd post a photo and people would stroke your ego and say, how nice it is. It's fantastic. I loved it. Yeah, I was there all the time. I lived on Flickr like I live on Facebook these days.
Yeah, right.
But because it was, in all seriousness, though, it was a time where you could really get inspired by other people's photos because the photos were really interesting. You could designate particular groups that you'd post to, so people with similar lenses, similar interest in photography, you could post to those groups and compare what other people were doing. So it was great. Over the last, I don't know, 18 months, 2 years, I've noticed that the connection rate has dropped it off just dramatically. Unless you've had long-time friends on there, you just seem to get no new real connections on Flickr. So it's lost a lot of interest for me. I guess Facebook has taken over to some degree.
Yep.
But Facebook is so transitory as far as you post a photo and it's gone within seconds in the mire of the world of Facebook.
Yeah, the news feed scrolls pretty fast.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And I think since Flickr started doing a lot of phone uploads and became, I think they have like 1 million photos an hour or something uploaded.
Wow.
Once again, your photos tend to get lost in the sheer volume.
And that quantity of uploading has to bring down the average quality, I would imagine.
How could it not? Yeah. I mean, I take lots of photos with my phone. I certainly wouldn't want to upload an awful lot of them, but... It has, people take... I think I was talking about it last week about the postcard I picked up in Vegas of the astronaut and the girl in the bathroom. Do you recall me speaking about that?
No, I don't think you mentioned that.
No, well, in case I didn't, if I did, sorry, I'm repeating myself. I was in Vegas recently, and I picked up this postcard. This does sound very familiar. And on one side, the postcard was an astronaut on the moon.
Right.
And on the other side, the postcard was a girl in the bathroom holding a cell phone. And the caption under the astronaut was, went to the moon, took 5 photos. And the caption under the girl was, went to the bathroom, took 37.
I saw you post that on Facebook.
That is just such a modern world, you know. if you are taking those 37 and sharing all 37 of them, it certainly is reducing the quality of work on there. So I've for a long time I've been looking at photographers I really admire. Yeah,
mm-hmm.
I wouldn't say there's a lot because I don't spend a lot of time looking at other photographers, but some people come across my mind and my eye, and I keep an eye on what they do, and I've been noticing they've been posting on a certain couple of sharing sites, one called 500px.
Yep, which I'm familiar with, yep.
Yeah, and one called 1px.
Oh, which I've not heard of.
Yeah, it's it's called First Pixel, 1px, First Pixel. What I noted as soon as I found some time this week after, I don't know, about a year or so meaning to go look at these sites, is the sheer quality of the work.
Right.
Because the amount of people, the people who post on there are more, I haven't seen anyone who I wouldn't consider a photographer so far.
Right.
As far as, of all sorts of levels and all sorts of skills, but with a certain eye, with a certain flair, and I guess more importantly, a certain intent to take good photographs.
Right.
Whether that was achieved or not is, beauty's in the eye of the beholder, of course.
Yeah.
I say never hold bees because they sting. but yeah, there's an incredible quality of work on there. So it's both inspirational, but as a place to want to share your photos, it looks quite astounding.
Right.
So 500px, I sort of joined this week as a pay to attend site. And look, here's one thing I loved about the site is they charge you the price per year based on what your clout score is.
Oh. And if you know what clout score is. What if you're not a member of clout, though?
Then you probably get full price.
Right.
But the higher your score is on clout, and for those who don't know what clout is, that's a... somebody's idea of measuring your influence on the internet based on the things you post on, the sites you post on.
Wow.
And it's the first time I've ever come across it that there's a percentage discount based on where your score is at, which is kind of astounding. So I got it for free, of course, because I've got that much influence. I wish. No, but I did get half price.
Yeah, right.
It could either be the world's best con, because it certainly stroked my ego. Oh, that's awesome. Look at that. Half off. So it cost me $10 instead of $20. last of the big spenders.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it was very interesting. The people coming to the site, maybe they've got some influence, I don't know, but certainly the quality of photographs in a whole range of different categories are exceptionally good. And then here's another cool thing. Basically, once you've gone and liked a few photographs of particular genres, when you log into your site, they basically do a thing called Flow, and that show you a whole bunch of recommended photographs that they've seen on the site that sort of meet your style that you like to look at.
Right.
So all of a sudden, as soon as you log in, you're presented with a couple of hundred astounding photos of just the types of things you like to look at.
Wow.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
It certainly sorts through a lot of the chaff.
That'd be a great way for coming up with ideas for future shoots.
Exactly. My case school of marketing, once again, copy and steal everything. I've already been clicking and saving people's photographs galore. Going, I'll do that one, or I'll do that one, or I'll do that one.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, not really, but if there's anyone out there from the copyright industry, that didn't happen.
It's flattering.
Yes, sincerity. So I love that. Now, I haven't actually joined 1PX yet, First Pixel.
Mm-hmm.
I thought I'd do one at a time. But it's certainly opened my mind to a whole new way of sharing photos and looking at photos.
Yeah.
And what I find as well is part of this flow, this range of images they put up. They put up photos that people that you've liked have liked. And if you like someone who's got a similar taste to you, well, they're actually out there finding photos for you.
Yeah, right.
It's pretty kind of interesting. And I've got to say, the iPhone app for it is just a beautiful piece of just design. It's just gorgeous.
This is for 500px.
Oh, 500px. The iPhone app is just beautiful to look at.
Right. Yeah.
You can just scroll through just page after page of stunning photos and just be mesmerized.
Yeah, right.
So, it's I think it's certainly worth the $10 to $20 price of admission for sure.
Yeah. And how does 1px differ from 500px?
Well, 1px...
Other than missing 499 pixels.
Yeah, well, that's it. It's nowhere near as good, obviously. Well, I haven't actually looked into it enough yet to tell you.
Okay, so, fair enough.
But there's a couple of things. There's a lot more. You can actually have photographs assessed and judged.
Oh, okay.
Critiqued is probably a better way of phrasing that. You can submit photos to be assessed by peers, by all sorts of people, which is very interesting. It's not called First Pixel. First Pixel is another website. I'm just trying to pull it up on my computer here to get the exact gist of what they're doing.
Right.
World's best photos. 1x.com. Not 1px. 1x.
I've got an x.
I'm going to say, so for the company, 1px, I've just been promoting for the last 5 minutes, please send any revenues generated my way. 1x.com.
Right.
Yeah, I believe very strongly in researching before I talk about something, as you can.
Absolutely.
So there's also the other advantage with 1x is it has weekly themes.
Oh, okay.
There's critiques, you can buy images, books, all sorts of stuff as well. There's awards, you can have your photos submitted to awards. So it's quite should we call it a more serious photographer's site? I don't know if that's the right word to use.
I have one question. Do any of these photo sharing sites that you've come across offer any facility for you to essentially blog and tell a story you know, that relates to either a single image or a set of images, like you would do on your own, you know, personal photography website if you had one.
So if you upload your, if you want to tell your own story of your own images, you mean, or somebody else's?
No, of your own stuff.
Well, this one you can upload new sets and you can upload stories.
Oh, okay.
So if you upload stories, this is on the 500px.
Yeah.
That's where the P came from. So it's 500px, 100x, 1x.
Yep.
So you can actually do your own stories, basically. So you can upload a series of photographs and tell a story about the images. So basically, it's a blog as well.
So that sort of, you know, that kind of level of, you know, being able to share images as well as being able to tell your story almost alleviates the need for your own personal website. Yes? No? Maybe?
Yes. Well, it depends. I mean, look, you can sell your photos on there. You can. I guess the only thing I would say against it is that its target market is other photographers. I mean, the people who are really going to the site are other photographers.
Right.
So how much connection you're having to them. Now, you could be getting your own customers to go there, but yeah, you're limited by whatever things that they want to sell. I mean, if you actually were a full-on working photographer and wanting to sell your products your own way, I think it'd be very limiting.
Right.
The way I see this is really more of an art site.
Right.
Something like more like a Redbubble or something along those sort of lines, where you can sell your own individual pieces of art, as opposed to, you wouldn't put a wedding up there necessarily and get your clients
right.
Go look at that.
I get you. Yep.
So it's a different feel, but that's why I think that. But that also, at the same time, whilst that say, that may or may not suit, that limiting the photos to individual art pieces does keep the quality exceptionally high.
Yeah, for sure.
Imagine if someone uploaded their 4,000 wedding photos from the wedding.
Yeah.
There's little chance more than 3,500 of those would be awesome. I mean, there'd be probably 400 or 500 bad ones in that.
Yeah.
Tongue firmly in cheek. I have to be careful how I say things sometimes. For those who don't know me, I'm a little bit of a smart aleck. It probably doesn't come across on the internet like this, but and on a video I posted onto Vimeo or something, and it was a behind-the-scenes shoot, and I said my typical, you're a tiger to the model,
right.
And I got attacked. By people, what kind of photographer is that? Who calls them a tiger? Has the humour left the world?
Yeah,
take the last bus.
Pretty much.
We're so serious these days. And look, I'd say if photography is a hobby, it should be fun.
Yeah,
it should be. If you're shooting a model and you want to have a bit of a fun and a bit of a laugh, call them a tiger, call them an armadillo, call them whatever.
Yeah.
Have some fun with it. Yeah, you'll be more relaxed. They'll be more relaxed. The shoot will go better.
Yeah,
and just you might accidentally have some fun whilst you're at it.
Yeah, absolutely.
So that's photo sharing. What I'd love, this would be an awesome test of our new Facebook page, is to people maybe post sites that they're on. Are there photo sharing sites that they're using that we haven't come across?
Yeah.
Because I've got a little bit of spare time on my hands. I wouldn't mind pimping my photos in a few more sites. Yeah, you don't get so much love. But I must say, I've become a bit of an Instagram addict this last couple of weeks as well.
Right.
I've been on Instagram for years, and I've had the same three photos up there for those years. And this week, about 100 this week.
Right.
It's all about love, you know.
Is Instagram about sharing images, or is it about processing images?
Well, it's about sharing, because you tag the photos, same as you would on anything else, but people find your photos by tags rather than putting them into groups and things like that. But the strange thing is, I've sort of come into this little group of musicians, sort of following, because all these public figures have their own Instagram Instagram accounts.
Right.
And you can talk directly to them and they'll talk back to you sometimes. It's really kind of weird. People you, major rock bands, you're discussing photography with them and stuff. It's kind of cool.
Wow.
So it's a different feel again than everything else. And what I'm actually loving as well is the square format.
Oh, okay.
Because, since the advent of 35mm film, we've had it sort of browbeaten into us that photos are rectangles.
Yep.
Well, they're not.
Okay,
we remember damn well.
Do whatever you want.
And what shape you want. They've only been rectangles pretty much predominantly since the 70s.
Yeah, right. Yeah, because Polaroids were always square.
6x6. If you when I started out in the photo business in 1980, if you shot weddings on a 35mm, you weren't a serious photographer.
Oh, really?
You had to shoot blads or 6.7s or 6.45s.
Yeah,
the
right.
35mm negative was way too small.
Right.
As far as they were concerned, that 35mm was perfectly fine, but there's always been a certain degree of snobbery in sport of photography, you know. That's the same way now the so-called full-frame sensor people look down at the so-called crop sensor people. Yeah, but you tell someone, I've got a full-frame camera, to a guy who uses a Hasselblad digital, he'll snicker.
Yeah.
Why do they titter so? But the thing is, it's just, I guess it's called, I've sort of been talking about some workshops lately about thinking outside the rectangle. Yes, stop thinking about photos of being, especially when it comes to composition, about having to be composed in this rectangular format.
Yeah.
They can be skinnier. And there's a customer at a workshop recently, he was using an Olympus camera, one of the little pen cameras.
Right.
And he had the ratio set to 16:9.
Okay.
So perfect for his plasma TV.
Yep.
But looking on the back of the camera, everything was so skinny. It just, to my eye, looks so odd because I'm just not used to seeing photos that skinny.
Yep.
But his whole composition was changed because of that.
Yep.
And so it's really sort of knocked me out of my, don't be so stuck in this rectangular world.
Yeah.
And that's, I think, where I started exploring. So with Instagram, what I started doing was posting previous photos I've taken either with my phone or with my camera, but seeing how to look in a square format rather than a rectangular format.
Yeah, right.
And it starts to make you see the world. And I think that's what our goal as photographers to always be trying to see the world differently.
Yep.
Yeah, so let's start looking at extremely long rectangles, very skinny rectangles, trapezoids, I don't know, anything we can think of to change our perception of the world.
Hmm.
Yeah. And I guess that's where people are doing triptychs, doing three images to make one, or doing a nine collage canvas. Yeah, you break one
three by three.
It breaks our normal view of a photograph up into a different way, and that can only be a good thing.
Yeah, good thing about shooting 16x9 is if you're working with video and you need to, intersperse photographs into the video footage. If you've shot your stills in 16:9, then
I'd be perfect, wouldn't it?
Already the right aspect ratio.
Just slot straight in there.
Mm.
But it certainly makes you obviously compose very differently and see very differently and think very differently.
Yeah.
And that can only be a good thing.
Definitely.
So maybe the challenge should be for people to go out and shoot only with a square end result in mind.
Hmm.
Yeah. Well, tape over part of your viewfinder.
maybe we should make that a weekly challenge for this week for people
Why
to
not?
Upload some photos to the Facebook page where you have shot with a square composition in mind. Okay, you probably shot it in 4:3 or 6:4, depending on how your camera is set, but you've gone and then cropped it in Lightroom, Aperture, whatever you're using. To a square format in at the final output. Let's see them on the Facebook page. And
but it's got to be more than that. You got to post it, but then tell us why you prefer it square.
Yeah.
What is it about the composition that speaks to you more than the rectangle did? Maybe show us both.
I was just about to say that. Yeah, put both up. And
well, you say it, because that way I'm...
Well, maybe you post both images. You post the rectangular one. Thank you. And the square one. And and tell us why.
Yeah.
Why the square?
And we can all critique it that way. Because everyone's got their own opinion. And as I said last week, I've got many opinions and I'm more than happy to share them. it's a fascinating, it's a great exercise in seeing and thinking to do that. So let's do that.
You know, it's funny that you brought up this topic of aspect ratio because...
No, I brought up the subject about different size photos, dude.
Because one of the big internet memes of this week is the video of Taylor Swift, "I Knew You Were a Goat When You Walked In," which I'm assuming you've seen, Glenn?
No, I'm far too serious. that sort of stuff.
Right.
It didn't involve me, so I didn't pay attention to it.
Go and do a search on YouTube for Taylor Swift, "I Knew You Were a Goat When You Walked In." Right? Don't do it while we're recording because we need the bandwidth. But, but the thing that grabbed me, the moment this thing popped up, because I, you know, someone posted it on Facebook and I went, "What the?" and sort of clicked on it and went off to look at it, and what really grabbed me was the aspect ratio that her film clip has been presented in. It's like 20 to 3. It's phenomenally wide and narrow.
So that's actually a real song, is it?
No, the song is called "I Knew You Were Trouble When You Walked In." But there's this meme at the moment.
See, that's old, folks. Don't listen to the young YouTubers, you see. I'm not hit with all that stuff.
But just search for Taylor Swift, "I Knew You Were a Goat When You Walked In." You'll get a good laugh.
The only hip I search on the internet these days is replacement.
Of course, "I Knew You Were a Goat When You Walked In" won't make much sense unless you're already familiar with the song. So maybe you should watch the official, you know, video clip and listen to the song first and then go and listen to the "I Knew You Were a Goat."
Is it one of those songs that's going to get stuck in your head and you'll never ever lose it?
Oh, well, probably. I mean, it's a major hit at the moment. Like, hit radio is playing it to death at the moment. The meme is very funny. But it was the whole aspect ratio thing that really caught me. The moment I saw it, it was like, my God, what is the aspect ratio of this film clip? I don't know.
So what do you think that effect has when people see it?
Well, it goes beyond trying to look like panorama. It just looks like something that's been excessively cropped from the top and the bottom.
But do you think that makes people stop and look?
Maybe.
Because it's so different from what they're used to seeing?
Maybe. Maybe. It certainly caught my eye. But then I, you know, think about photography a lot. I don't know whether your average Joe
and goats.
Shh, don't tell.
Come bleating to me, dude.
But I don't know whether your average Joe who's not into photography would pay as much attention to it. Maybe they do. Maybe
walk up and tap beside the computer screen. Something wrong with your picture.
Anyway,
interesting. I will search for that and see. I did some of my own memes a week or so ago on the Pope. I've been getting into doing memes of late.
Oh, okay.
But they're all bad. I had a lot of fun with the end of the world last year. And
sort
of
okay, thing. Yep.
Any topical subject comes up, I tend to go a bit crazy on the internet with terribly bad puns.
There was a great photo I saw on Facebook yesterday, and it was a picture of the comet about to impact over Russia.
Yeah.
I'm sure you've seen all the video footage of that.
Absolutely.
And someone had superimposed the text over it. It was something along the lines of, "Imagine if this had happened on the 21st of December last year."
Oh, yeah.
People would have just gone nuts, even more than they did.
It would have set certain people off crazily.
Oh, yeah, totally.
Heading for the bunker straight away.
Yeah. Now, there was one other thing that we were going to talk about episode, and it's to do with the retail side of the industry.
It is. It's something that's dear to my heart, having spent many years as a lad growing up. Mm-hmm. And recently, whilst I was in Vegas a couple of weeks ago, the day the main photo industry conference started, Jessup's Camera Stores in England closed down.
Wow.
They'd been in trouble. But they'd gone from, I think, 350 stores down to 187.
Wow.
And then they closed the last 187 instantly. Bang. All closed.
What?
And 1,400 jobs gone.
Whoa.
In that. So that was one. At the same time, you know, within a fairly similar period of time, Ritz Camera Stores in the US, which used to be the largest chain of camera stores, I think they had like 3,500 stores, something on that sort of line, filed for bankruptcy again, and the word again is fairly I think it's the second or the third time they've gone bankrupt.
Wow,
which is persistent, if nothing else.
So obviously, the first time they declared bankruptcy, they obviously had an angel come in with some cash to get them back up and running.
Yeah, I don't know how they did it. Some people came in, some people had bought some stuff, some of the people who they were owed money to sort of held on. All this kind of stuff went on and on and on.
Wow.
They've gone down from, I think, 3,500 stores down to, last I heard, was 137.
Ooh.
And now I don't know how many of those 137 are left.
Wow.
If any.
Ouch.
So that's fairly huge impact. And this all came to pass while we're talking about today. There's an area in Melbourne called Blood Alley, which is Elizabeth Street in Melbourne. Is a strip of three or four camera stores, which like to go fairly aggressively against each other pricing wise, hence the Blood Alley.
Ah, right, okay.
One of the major three today posted a sign up, closed until further notice.
Ooh.
Not going to say who, because I don't actually know the story behind it, but it's obviously just developing as we speak. I do know that, so I'm told, that people came in and changed locks on the business today. So that's devastating news. And why it's devastating, forget the impact on the people who work there, which is terrible, and the owners, of course, who I know personally quite well. That's terrible in itself, but it's just a sign of what's happening to, not just the photo retail industry, but any retail industry around the world, and that is the internet buying, of being able to buy stuff from overseas and import it and save money.
Yeah.
It seems like the ideal scenario that we can buy off the internet, have stuff shipped to our doors, often faster than we can get shipped in Australia, and save a significant sum of money. Yeah, it's extremely appealing.
Well, I've got to confess, I'm guilty.
Well, look, I don't think there'll be many people in the world. I mean, I've bought books. I buy stuff off around the world as well. We all do, but you know, you go try and find a bookstore these days. Why it's bad is, I mean, Australia is in itself, it's in a position that's far worse than a lot of countries, in that we have an extremely overpriced dollar. Our dollar's exceptionally high.
Yes.
Our government chooses not to charge tax on anything coming in under $1,000 because they feel it's just too hard.
Yep.
We're compared to someone like England, which charged tax over 25 quid going into the country.
Right.
So it's a significant difference.
Yep.
And as I said, we have a very high average wage. We have an exceptionally good lifestyle here in Australia. You know, we have our 4 weeks annual leave, which is a lot compared to a lot of places in the world. We have maternity leave, paternity leave, free health insurance, free superannuation where the company pays you a retirement fund, basically.
Yep.
We have an awful lot of free stuff, which is a great lifestyle to have. But we have the ability, because of the internet, to buy from countries that don't have any of that.
Yeah.
Countries that have extremely low living standards, low wages, and therefore it's easy to sell stuff cheap.
Yep.
Especially the Asian market is especially the case there. So we can buy from somewhere where the living standards is relatively low compared to our own. But it does mean at some stage we must have that same lifestyle ourselves, because she can't keep buying from countries that have exceptionally low wages, low benefits, and maintain your own.
Right.
And we see that with, when I think not that long ago, there's about 400 or 500 or about 1,200 camera stores in Australia. I think they're down to about 300 or so now.
Really?
From 1,200. Yeah, and I don't know how many of those would be considered successful businesses.
Yeah, right.
It doesn't matter where you live. If you live local and earn local, you have to kind of shop local, because without those taxes that the company's got to pay, then the schools don't get funded, the hospitals don't get funded. Without the wages and that these people pay these companies, the people who are employed in these camera stores, well, they go out and spend maybe on your business. If you own a landscaping business, they might buy stuff off you. If they don't have jobs, they won't do that. It's just a terrible spiraling circle of doom in some ways.
Yep.
Not saying I've got any solution. There are no solutions to it. I don't think there'll be a leveling at some point where things break even. But it just shows, if I see 3,500 stores closing there, 1,500 stores closing there, major retail chains in Australia closing down left, right and centre. It's very tough.
I think as much as we'd hate to admit it from a consumer point of view, the answer has to be that the government needs to start taxing the, you know, the imports, you know, that that people are bringing in of a lesser value.
Well, it's certainly one thing that they kind of should do, because I think it was something like $2.7 billion they didn't collect last year.
Wow.
And that I don't know, that feeds a few people in hospitals, it probably opens up a few beds, does a few surgeries, and helps out a few schools from here to there.
Yeah.
It's $2.7 billion. And because that online purchasing is increasing at such a rapid rate that, yeah, this year will probably be 4 or 5 billion they won't be collecting. Next year will probably be 7 or 8 billion they're not collecting. I mean, that's a massive amount of money taken out of the government's budgets.
Yeah.
But I said, yeah, you look at shopping centres, they're shopping malls, they're just stores are closing down everywhere. It's just, at some stage, it's got to impact where these people are going to find jobs.
Yeah. Exactly.
I know the 50 or 60 people who work in this particular camera store that now has this sign, but where are they going to get employed?
Yeah.
That's all just going to be a drain. And I know, look, it's tough. People only have X amount of dollars to spend, and the overseas purchase is very tempting. But at the very least, I say go give your local store a chance to compete.
Yeah.
Before you hit buy, give them a call or pop in there and think about, you know, let's see if they can get close. Maybe it's worthwhile long run for your country to support the local, yeah. Because at some stage it's going to come back, and that support will come back to you, or the lack of support will come back to you as well.
Yeah.
It's a bit serious, isn't it?
It is.
It's just very tough. In my workshops, I deal with a lot of people who are trying to fund a lifestyle where they get to spend time with their kids, but maybe take some photos and earn some money to help the family out. And I get all that. It's an incredible thing to be able to do. And I love those customers. So they've only got a small amount of money to spend.
Yeah.
So they're trying to do the best by their family by spending that little amount of money wherever they can, which is often overseas. But unfortunately, at some stage, it's going to come back and bite us. It has to. We can't just keep sending our money to other countries.
Yeah.
Because we won't have any left.
Yeah.
It's tough.
Mm.
So support your... But that's the same that our fruit growers bemoan the fact that it's cheaper to import oranges from overseas than make them here. Yeah, because they've got to pay their staff superannuation, 4 weeks leave, et cetera, you know. Canon Australia, yeah, people bemoan that Canon sell things much more expensive here. Well, you know, it's the same thing. Everyone who works at Canon wants 4 weeks leave, maternity leave, yeah, a good average wage. Yeah. And so does the career driver who takes it from Canon to the store. So does the store people. So do the people buying the stuff. You know?
Yeah.
Someone's got to pay somewhere.
Yes.
Yeah. I've been listening to one of my favorite bands, a band called The Tragically Hip.
Oh, yes.
Yep. A line from their latest album is, if something's too cheap, someone's paying somewhere.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so I've devised the Worldo. Is it like a euro, but it goes across the whole world?
Oh, okay.
I think if we're all on the same currency, it'll help to somewhat, because it'll stop all this, my currency is worth more than your currency kind of stuff as well.
Well, I mean, you know, the conspiracy theorists would be jumping up and down and saying, well, that's exactly what we don't want. But, I don't know, you know.
But,
because
look,
the moment
if they
you,
do
the moment
come
you
out
have
a Worldo, I want my face in the five Worldo.
The thing is,
I came out with a name.
If you ever came up with a single currency like that, you would probably then end up with a single world government.
Oh, yeah, that wouldn't be good, would it?
Well, yeah. Conventional thinking says no, but I don't know. Would it be such a bad thing? I think
depends who it is.
Humanity's biggest problem is that we just can't live with our neighbours, and we need to learn to.
Yeah.
You know?
Oh, wow, that's deep.
Sorry, mate.
No, it's awesome. It's deep. Oh, goodness gracious me.
Well,
so how do we finish this? How do we finish this podcast on a lighter note?
I have no idea. The reason I say that was because I was watching a video yesterday, and it was all about the astronauts.
Spaceballs doesn't count as a movie, by the way.
No, but this was about astronauts. It was about the astronauts who had been, up into space, who, you know, prior to 1968 or 63, whenever it was that they first went into space, sent, you know,
if they ever did,
manned missions into space. And these astronauts were saying, you know, up until that point in time, no human had ever seen the Earth from anywhere, you know, beyond, say, you know, 2 kilometers above the surface. So no one had.
I thought you were going to say that until someone went into space, no one had ever seen the world from space. I thought, well, that kind of makes. They made a whole movie of that.
But basically, what they were saying was that once you go far enough out into space that you can see the entire planet hanging in space, you suddenly realize that, you know, A, we're madly, you know, focused on this whole going into space thing when we don't realize we're already there. And secondly, that when you see the ozone layer from out in space and you see how microscopically thin that layer is all around the planet, and then you realize that that's the only thing that's protecting us from complete and utter annihilation on a daily basis. It gave all of the astronauts, they all came back with the same sense of awe for the planet, and basically all of them said the same sort of thing, that, you know, it gave them this realization that we are the custodians of the planet, we absolutely need to look after it, and we need to start getting on with each other and getting over, you know, yeah, the differences of race and colour and all these stupid things that we get hung up on. And
height. Height.
Well, you don't have a problem there.
No, but yeah, it's the short people. There was a Goodies episode from many, many years ago.
Right.
And it's got to be seen, but they were kidnapped and sent to South Africa and had to come up with a new segregation system. And they came out with apart height. So biggins and little ones.
Right.
You can guess who became the lower class.
Yeah, Bill Oddie.
Exactly.
It was such a good show.
It's got to be on YouTube somewhere to watch them for. Very funny stuff.
Well,
we finished with a bit of a joke.
That's probably a good note on which to finish. Yeah. Well, mate, thank you for the chat.
Oh, my pleasure. Yeah, it's not every night you get to sit down, change the entire world and everyone's position in it. Let's see where we're at next week.
Absolutely. So if you haven't already, swing by the new Shutters Inc. podcast page on Facebook and hit like. And
let's put a link on Facebook so they can find it.
Yeah. Absolutely. So if you're friends with Glyn and not friends with me, Glyn will have a link to it. And if you're friends with me and not with Glyn, I'll put up a link.
I could put it on my page too. That's a good idea. That probably has more effect, really, wouldn't it? When you think about it. Yeah. I'll do that.
Yeah, good one. All right, mate. Well, I'll talk to you again next week.
Excellent. Take care. Bye, everybody.
See you, mate. Bye.
Shutters Inc., another audio2you.com quality podcast. For previous episodes, check out shuttersincpodcast.com or search the iTunes Music Store. For questions, comments, and feedback, email theboys@shuttersincpodcast.com.